in order to answer so many questions around your personal finances, you have to have a pretty decent understanding of yourself and what you want for your life.
Welcome to the One Up Project.
Money is fuel that allows you to do things. It doesn't need to be taboo.
What you don't want to do is wake up at 65 realizing you did something you hated and have regret.
Go and find people who will give you advice for nothing.
This is a space for personal growth and money chat with new perspectives every Monday.
This bit of content, listening to this, is going to be a small little breadcrumb of something that makes you think a little bit differently.
For all the things we were never taught but should have been.
At the end of the day, the most important person is yourself, and if you're not happy with your own choices, then you're never going to be happy.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the One Up Project podcast. We are going back to financial foundations today with five ways to manage your money more effectively. This actually turned into quite a conversational episode between Stacey and I, where we ended up giving examples from our personal experience around how we manage our own money, things that have changed over time, circumstances and life events that have altered and influenced the different ways that we spend and save our money. I even went into all the different bank accounts I have, for what reason, and probably established the fact that there needs to be some reviewing and reflecting going on within there. So yes, today's guest is Stacey Faircloth from Dosh. Dosh is the money app that enables you to better manage your money, your spending, and your savings. I am so grateful to have them as a show partner today and looking forward to exploring all the different ways that Dosh can help you not only manage your money better, but optimize your existing finances with things like rewards, etc., so that even when you're spending, you are still saving. I'm going to leave the link to their app below. If anyone is interested in downloading, give it a try. Let me know your thoughts and I can let Dosh know as well. Also, quick apology from me. I am recording these episodes in 30 degree heat and had the fan on for the first 2 minutes of this episode, which you can slightly hear in the background, but it goes away after that time. So hopefully that isn't too annoying for everyone. Looking forward to much better audio and cooler rooms to come. Always appreciate your time here. Look forward to many more conversations in the future, and let's jump straight into the episode. Stacey, it's so good to have you here on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. This has been a long time coming, and I'm so excited we can finally have a little chat about managing our money more effectively, something I am very, very passionate about, especially having financial foundations, which is going to be a core theme of this episode. For me, you know, having those foundations set around my finances has been something that I've worked on since the beginning of this podcast and when I first started learning about financial literacy. And I think that it is one of the most important and crucial things you can do to feel in control of your money. What's been your experience with like personal finance so far? Would you consider yourself an expert or a beginner? Where would you put yourself?
Yeah, probably somewhere in between. I have gone through a bit of a journey over the last five years, where I was super good with managing my money, saving all the time. I did live at home, so it was like obviously a lot easier then. 18 months ago, I bought a house, which kind of was a great achievement, but it kind of like shifted my whole mindset, and like I kind of got derailed completely with like all that money management that I'd set up beforehand. So since then, I've been on a bit of a journey to reestablish those foundations. You mentioned control, and that's like my main motivations. If I feel in control, I feel good about my finances. So that's where I'm trying to get to.
You mentioned being derailed, which I think so many of us can relate to. What does derailed mean in your mind? What kind of happened?
I think just because I had so many new bills and expenses and unexpected things pop up in the process of buying a house that I just completely got off track with knowing where I was spending my money each week, and I kind of was just spending without thinking about it. I was just saving bits here and there but without a plan. Like, I wasn't consistent with it. I didn't have a set amount that I was saving each paycheck. That's what made me feel, out of control with my finances.
And so what was the first thing you did to find that control again? Or was it a bit of a mental battle first to overcome all of the changes in your life?
A little bit of a mental battle, because I do, you know, I don't like to restrict myself too much, which I found I did have to start doing a bit more, just with all the extra expenses and things like that. But I think just coming back to knowing where my money is going for my whole paycheck down to the dollar, so allocating all my money constantly, and just like looking at the month ahead and knowing what bills are coming up, what may come up, and, you know, socializing, that sort of thing, and just setting myself a bit of a routine around my finances, and also not letting my pay come in and just leaving it there, because I got into a habit of that, and that didn't help me completely, because I was just, yeah, that's where I led to like spending without thinking about it and that sort of thing. When my paycheck comes in, I actually do something with it right then, rather than, yeah, I'd wait a few weeks and get to the middle of the month, I'd have to pay stuff, and yeah, just, yeah, wouldn't work.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. Did you end up having to set up automatic payments, or do you still manually organize your paycheck now when it comes in?
I do mostly just manually transfer. When I do it myself, I think about more what I'm doing. Like, I have the mindset there behind, like, it's a bit of a practice to do, you know, you're thinking about it, it's in your mind.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't actually have automatic payments set up for a lot of things that are involved in my personal finances, because I'm the same. I personally enjoy the process of manually moving things from one account to another. It makes me feel that sense of control, and it makes me feel like something is happening. But I also think that there is so much value in a set and forget savings method, where for people who may be more tempted to adjust those amounts when manually changing it, they don't really get a choice in that, because it's already been set up and decided for them. So I think if you're just getting started with your finances, automatic payments can be a really great way to introduce that mindset without having it yourself yet, and then getting used to that way of life. And then maybe as you move forward and you have a bit more understanding of where money needs to go, which it sounds like, you know, you've bought a house, you've probably had so much experience now with understanding what bills need to come out, what amounts are coming out, you are then able to manually transfer things because you know your routine, you know what plan you need to have in order to make sure everything gets paid. Something I typically haven't done in the past, but should have absolutely done so much earlier, is have a clear goal and plan for my finances and know why I'm putting money in this account or investing in that account or whatever it is. I think I started off just thinking, yeah, I need to save as much as possible. And then I went into this period of my life where I was like, okay, well, no, I actually don't. I'm going to spend as much as possible. And now I'm back in the mindset that actually I just need to have my foundations and find some balance within it all. But being proactive about that is actually going to help me so much more than reacting in the moment. How do you go about creating clear goals and a plan for yourself?
Yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from. I was a bit the same, where I was just putting my savings in one account and just leaving it at that. I didn't really have any goals or things in mind that I was going to use it for. But what's becoming really important to me is understanding why I want to save for something and digging into how important it is for me, like in my stage of life. I've realized how important it is to have an emergency fund now compared to a few years ago, because I can actually like tangibly see the effects that it could have if I ever needed that emergency fund. So things like that, or even like if I want to go on holiday, why is that so important to me, and like what am I going to get out of it, so that I can really get that motivation out of it and know, okay, I want to get that result that's not just like superficially going on holiday, so I can have something that I can relate to a bit more rather than just saving to have this amount of money.
Yeah. Do you think that was your mindset when saving a deposit to buy your home?
For a while there, I was just kind of saving as I go. I was just, you know, living at home, chucking my money in savings because I could. Eventually, when it got closer, then I was like, okay, I know what I'm putting my money towards. I can go faster, and I've got that thing in my head. So it really does motivate you.
A lot of people's dream is to buy a house. It is one of the most popular financial goals I think I hear about often on this podcast and when I'm talking to people about money. You've achieved that. How has your why for saving and for managing your money changed since achieving that goal?
Yeah, I think it's put saving for specific things into better context for myself. Like being able to travel is more of a luxury to me now than it was before I bought a house. So I have a deeper why into why I want to do that. Putting my money towards my skincare and things like that, I want to be able to spend money on that. And I want to, you know, because it makes me feel good. So then I have more of that why, whereas before that I wasn't restricted so much because of I had to meet these certain expenses. So I had money to just, I felt like at the time I had money to just fling around wherever I wanted to, which isn't great habits, but now that I've got a house, I've had to kind of put that into perspective and understand why I'm spending my money on things, why things are important to me, and how it makes me feel, rather than just spending.
So it sounds like now you have to be a lot more intentional with the way that you manage your money.
Yeah, and yeah, having that purpose behind where your money's going.
Do you think it's possible to have the best of both worlds? You know, some of us want to buy a house, we want to travel at the same time, we want to do all of these other things in our lives, and sometimes it can feel like it's not possible to do it all. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because I've always been the type of person that wants something now and struggled with, you know, really planning out into the future, even like a couple of years from now. And it's definitely harder with a house and wanting to travel. But if it's really important to you, I think you can make it work. There's, you know, I think things might easily derail you if like interest rates change or something like that, you might get off track. But I think if you've got that why and that intention behind why you want to do something, go off and travel, you can make it work for your situation. Maybe you're just looking at a longer term than you would have before.
Yeah, sometimes in this situation, I wonder if we're actually asking the wrong question, because is it possible or not? The answer to that is yes. It is possible if you have earned enough to buy a house and save for that deposit, and you are now paying your mortgage repayments in a way that is not putting you into a state of survival. If you are able to manage that, then I think, yes, it is possible to do that. But probably the bigger question is, well, when do you want to do that? And in what way do you want to do that? Because all of those answers will then determine when that will be possible for you, because it might not be in the same year. It could be years in the future, but that will all depend on everything that sits around your personal situation rather than can you or can you not do it.
Yeah, and I think I've definitely seen this with a few of my friends as well, is they've just had to change their travel plans from backpacking for a year to doing a few weeks at a time, just so they can manage like the mortgage payments and at the same time as traveling. So I think, yeah, just you might just have to change up how you do things.
Yeah, and I guess just a note for anyone listening who does want to do that, there's some interesting discussions on leasing out your house for an extended period of time while you go traveling, or using things like house sitter sites to have free accommodation while you're traveling. And I think looking into those ways that can provide access or greater access to that opportunity might be something as well, and looking into all the different ways that you could possibly do it, because I understand there are so many restrictions and barriers, especially in the current economic climate that we're in. So many people are struggling right now, and I hesitate always to say that things, or I never like to say that things are impossible. I think that with the right support, resource, and accessibility, anything could be possible for anyone. but there are so many buts to that situation, and it very much is so dependent on your personal financial situation, and how you can find those little resources and pockets of opportunity to allow you to do all the things that you want to do. And for you, Stacey, do you have any travel plans coming up at all?
I do have plans to make plans that I need.
I love that. We've all got plans to make plans. Yeah. I do love that.
It's like kind of in the works, but I actually need to like put the effort into doing it, which is scary.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand. It takes like, I don't know what kind of person, I don't know if this is you, but I really struggle to organize things like that and then actually commit to spending the money, especially on big purchases. Like I recently bought a new phone and a new laptop at the exact same time, which it just happened coincidentally that my old phone and my old laptop both blew out at the same time. And I was like sweating at the thought of spending that much money in one go and like organizing what device to buy. And it felt like there were so many options and so many things I could do. And those decisions can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah, it's scary. It's not nice when you see all that money come out of your account.
No, but if you've got, as you say, if you've got the clear purpose and the clear why, you can make it happen, right? I think one of the most common misconceptions I've seen about budgeting and about money is that a plan is restrictive. But I think from what, you know, we've spoken about here, we can see that a plan can actually give you freedom, and it can help you to have opportunities in a controlled space that will also allow you to live and contribute to the things you want to contribute to, whether that is your mortgage repayments, whether that is your community or your family costs or whatever that looks like for you. And so we mentioned automatic payments a little bit earlier and having dedicated kind of savings accounts for things. I'm curious to know how your accounts are set up. Like, are you the kind of person that has 15 different accounts, or are you just simple with it?
I'm a little bit in between of that. I obviously have like my spending account, and then I'll have like, I group my house expenses together, and then I group things like public transport and anything of that kind, subscriptions, things like that together. I do it that way rather than doing an account per exact expense, because I don't like to restrict myself massively and I find that a little bit overwhelming. So I kind of group those things together in a way that easily makes sense to me. I still know where my money is going for each payment, but I'm not controlling myself too much. That makes sense.
Yep, that makes complete sense. I think I'm going to, for the sake of clarity, I'm going to pull up my accounts right now and share what mine are because I've forgotten. But I think I'm actually similar to you, Stacey. I think I'm a little bit in between. I don't like to have an account for every single expense, but I do like to break it out in a way that is kind of grouped. So, and don't judge me, guys, because I haven't even really reviewed this before I'm about to say it, but we'll see. We'll see how it sounds. So I've got 9 accounts. I've got my daily spending and then a shopping account, which both of those could probably be the same account. Then I have a travel account, which has all my money for my travels at the moment. An emergency fund account. I then have I have two different tax accounts. Just as a result of one being an interest-bearing account and the other one being a common bank account, because I like to store my taxes in an account that will be earning interest over time rather than losing value over time, since it has to sit there anyway. And then I have my OneUp Project account, which is just like my business account where all my money goes in and out of. And then I have another just random account that I don't use anything for, and a groceries and nails account, which is kind of just like a general expenses account. And I should probably clean up much of that, and this has reminded me now to do that. But I think like we're also different in the way that we want to manage our money, and I think sometimes it takes a bit of trial and error. do you reckon?
Yeah, and I mean, if that works for you, like, sometimes you don't need to fix what's not broken. I should have mentioned what I am crazy about with is savings accounts. I have, like, my emergency fund that needs to be built up for sure. But then I also have a second backup account for, like, backup social events because I, like, don't want to miss out on things. But things come up all, like, randomly all of a sudden. That's definitely where I've learned some trial and error from, is having a bit of extra money on the side that is savings but not my restricted savings completely. So I've got a bit of room to work around with, and that's what I found's worked well for me.
That's really interesting, actually, because if you are someone who is quite social, you know, and there's so many of us out there who get FOMO, we don't want to miss out on things, birthdays pop up, random events pop up. If that is something that you really value in your life, but you don't have, like, you can't really plan for a lot of those spontaneous things, that is such a great idea, because then that means you're never having to stress yourself out in any certain month of the year by random events that you want to go to. You've just got the money there, and it's not taking away from your emergency account. It's not taking away from your general savings. It's just your fun money, basically.
Yeah, and things like concerts, like, they come up randomly, and you've got like a week to find the money sometimes. So it's good to, like, just be able to jump in on things, and they can typically be expensive things as well, you know, like friends got to organize a weekend away, or New Year's comes up all of a sudden and you've got to spend for that, and that can all add up really quickly as well.
Yeah, exactly. I really love the ideas that I've seen a couple people have when it comes to Christmas and things, like putting a certain amount of money in an account each month for Christmas. And so then by the time you hit December, you've got money allocated there for people's presents. And it's like every year there's Christmas. We all know it's coming up, but every single year I forget about it. And every single year I'm stressed about it. And so that's what we were talking about in that first point, is being proactive rather than reactive can save you so much time, so much money, and so much stress down the line. And so with your accounts, do you typically have, are you quite strategic with the types of accounts you have? Do you have, like, on-call accounts? Do you have notice saver accounts? Do you use term deposits? Like, how do you kind of structure that?
All of my savings accounts are on-call accounts. I think it's really good to check up on those, because they can often have restrictions in there that you might forget about, you might not know about. I've talked to a lot of friends and family that didn't realize their interest was split up into bonus and standard interest, right? So that can be quite common. If they work for you, they can work for you, but sometimes it's good to look at other options. I like having my savings accessible with on-call rather than being super restrictive.
Totally. And just for anyone who doesn't know as well, an on-call savings account is an account kind of like your standard savings account that you can take money out when and if you want to. So there aren't typically restrictions about being able to just take that money out straight away, but there might be restrictions, like what Stacey has said, around how you can earn interest on that money and what that looks like for that certain account. But the point of it being on call is that it's on your call, so you can take the money out when you want. Whereas a notice saver account, comparatively, is an account where you have to give notice to take that money out. So I have a couple of notice saver accounts that I use, and it's really important that when you are putting money in those accounts, that you are well aware of the fact that you won't be able to access that straight away. So we don't want to put things like our emergency fund in a notice saver account, because if we need it that day or the next day, we can't get it out. And that's obviously going to be extremely stressful. So be quite intentional with what you put money into. And for some people, they might not want that kind of restriction at all, like Stacey was talking about, and save that kind of restriction for something like your investment account, where you want to leave it in there for a prolonged period of time anyway. I think I find them, like notice saver accounts, to be quite useful for those savings that aren't your emergency fund, so not something you need straight away, but also not something that you can put in an investment account, because that's too long term of an option. So those kind of medium term savings, I find those to be quite good for. And so you mentioned that you like to do things manually with your accounts. How do you make sure that you are staying consistent with your savings if this is something that is kind of under your control or something you have to hold yourself accountable for rather than an automatic payment holding you accountable?
I started a while back looking at my savings as an expense in my mind. So I think of it, it was just really a mindset shift from saving as something I should be doing to something that I just do, that's like a regular part of my routine, and making it a non-negotiable for myself.
Yeah, well, I suppose sometimes with savings it can feel like, well, this is our choice, right? Like if we don't want to save this much this month, we technically don't have to, like it's on us.
Yeah.
But with an expense, you have to pay that. Like with rent, with your mortgage repayments, you have to pay that. You don't get a choice. So I think maybe approaching savings like that can help keep you more accountable as well. On to something quite interesting from a spending perspective is how we can spend intentionally. You know, we can't avoid spending when we need to, and sometimes we really want to spend money on the things that we value, and that's amazing. So how do we do it more intentionally and more strategically is something that I am quite interested in. So to you, Stacey, what does it mean to spend intentionally?
I think it all comes back to that what's important to me. Like if I spend within that parameter, I feel okay about spending. An example I always think about this is when, like, if you're buying clothes, buying something that feels good for you, like feels good to wear, like makes you feel confident, and that's what's important to you, then that's kind of spending within those parameters. But then maybe you'll restrict yourself by not spending on those trends that are going to go out of fashion quite quickly, or, you know, you're going to forget about in like a few months that you even have. Spending but in a controlled way, you still get that benefit of being able to keep up with your fashion or anything that works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Something, a way I like to describe that is value-based spending. So when I first started this podcast, it was all about financial literacy. It was all about budgeting and investing. And then over time, I started to realize that actually, in order to answer so many questions around your personal finances, you have to have a pretty decent understanding of yourself and what you want for your life and who you are and why those things matter. Because you need to have some conviction in the decisions you make because they are for you and they are not for anyone else. And so with spending, it becomes the exact same thing where I spend $65 around every month on my nails. Some people would find that to be a really unnecessary expense that they don't value at all, and that's totally fine. Whereas it's something that's actually budgeted into my financial planner, and it's something I really value. And so for me, that's an expense I never miss, and it's something that I work into my life because that's something I value. The same with traveling, I suppose, at the moment. You know, a lot of my savings are going towards my traveling as opposed to investing. And that is the way I'm choosing to invest or spend for right now in the season of my life, because that is what I value versus in another season when it's all about growth, financial growth. So to know what you want and to have some strength in that will also help you feel confident and in control of your finances, because you then don't feel like you need to justify that to other people if they are to question it as well, because money can still be quite a shameful and a taboo thing. It is hard to bring up conversations about money with people when you are still unsure of what you actually want for yourself as well.
Yeah, definitely. And especially when you see like your friends doing different things or you've got pressures from elsewhere, you can get quite distracted and feel like you're doing the wrong thing, but you can't be doing the wrong thing when it comes to your own money.
Yeah, for sure. It's your decision. And as long as you're happy with that, ultimately that is what matters, because there is nothing worse than making a decision based on someone else's perspective, it going wrong, and then feeling all of this anger and blame towards someone else. It's a lot healthier to make those decisions for yourself, I think, because then you can at least have some peace in knowing that you made the best decision you could with the information you had at the time, rather than trusting someone who may not have had your best interests, not in a, you know, horrible way, probably with the best of intentions, but didn't have kind of your interests in mind, possibly had their interests in mind. How can DOSH help us with this, with spending more intentionally?
So what I found massively helpful in my own little money management journey is using DOSH stashes to manage your money in those separate accounts. You can add stashes straight away, personalize them with a little emoji and your stash account name, and then transfer all your money out into those accounts, which makes it super easy, really visual as well. From that, when I manage my money better, then I know I'm going to be better with my savings as well. So with DOSH, you can open a DOSH Strive savings account. You can earn interest. Today we're offering 4.8% per annum. So it's a competitive interest rate, which is good. But with that benefit, you can also, like, it's your money. You don't have to, there's no restrictions on when you can take out your money. It's truly on call for you. You can set and track your goals as well, which is really helpful. You can actually make that visual in your savings account. You don't just have to like write it down or keep it in your head. It's right there in front of you and you can track your progress, which is quite cool.
So important to have that visual aspect, I think. Like, otherwise it's just not fun. You want to feel like you're actually somewhat enjoying the process. That can be so intimidating and scary.
Yeah, I mean, you put your little emoji with it, it's like, yeah, I'm having fun, but I'm opening a savings account.
Yeah, exactly. You can make it your own, personalize it. And I think I've spoken about this quite a bit in the past, that to feel invested in your own finance journey, you do have to feel like it's your own. And so being able to personalize that in whatever way it is, whether that's with your financial planner or your system or your accounts or like whatever it is, making it your own will be such a key part of having that control as well.
Yeah, definitely. And with your spending, you can also get notified when you make a card purchase on your DOSH Visa debit card, which is great for security, but it's also really good for accountability as well. Sometimes there's days where I have to do a lot of purchases out and about, and it's a really good reminder to me. If I go a bit crazy, I can pull back.
I love that. It's almost like instant mental expense tracking, which I go on so much about the importance of expense tracking. Is that something you typically do separate to with DOSH, or do you kind of use DOSH as that accountability method for that?
Yeah, I like to keep it all in one place. It kind of goes hand in hand with those stash accounts where I can see what I've got in which account. I know what I'm planning to spend on within the month of my paycheck, so I can keep track of where I am at a time. I'm not the type of person that needs it broken down like on an Excel spreadsheet or something. The stashes are really helpful for knowing where I'm putting what where and where I'm spending, and yeah, just those little reminders of even just being notified is really helpful.
How do you think that awareness has changed the way you've managed your money so far?
It's really helped with that why concept that we've been talking about. It's just a constant reminder of like, do I want to spend here or do I not want to spend here? Or where do I want to put my money towards this month? And I have a constant reminder in my head to think about that why, think about what's important to me, which really keeps me on track. I can easily say no to things that don't fit in with them, that restriction I've put on myself.
Yeah, there's this concept in the book Atomic Habits. Have you read Atomic Habits?
I keep meaning to. I definitely should now.
It's a classic. There's this concept in there that it's basically how to create an effective habit, and it involves four things. To make an effective habit, you need to make it attractive. You need to make it obvious. You then need to make it attractive, make it easy, and then make it satisfying. And so the first one, make it obvious, is exactly what you're talking about here, where it's like that constant reminder of the fact that you do manage your money, you are in control of your money, or you need to, or you need to pull back on spending here, or you have this goal, like this is what your spending is getting you or not getting you to. Making it obvious can be done through the expense tracking, which then will constantly link you to the reason you are managing money in the first place, or the reason you have savings goals. And I think you're exactly right in the sense that expense tracking doesn't just, it doesn't need to be an exercise to make you feel guilty or to make you shameful of the way you've spent. It is just there to remind you of why you're spending and why you're saving.
Yeah, and it just reminds me that I have control over what I'm doing, and if I have control, like, I feel good about it.
Control is such a key part. And once we have that control, we can then move on to, you know, other parts of our finances. Once we have that initial control of saving and managing our money that we have, managing our incomings and our outgoings, we can then optimize. And within financial foundations, I like to talk about having those core foundations set, and then we can move on to the optimizations. And so the optimizations are things like investing or earning rewards or points, or, you know, being a bit more strategic about the way that we now manage our money because we at least have those core things taken care of. And so for you, Stacey, in your journey, how have you kind of optimized on your existing financial foundations?
Yeah, well, I think the key thing for me with optimizing is making just like small changes that all add up. I feel like if I go and make like a massive change, I'll be a bit overwhelmed. So I make just small amounts, like increasing my savings maybe by like $5 each paycheck or things like that. What I've also done and have been able to do with Dosh is if I earn rewards from my Dosh card, I can put that into my savings, or I can put it away into a stash. I can put it towards some spending. Like, I kind of have that control over to do whatever I want with it. And then obviously that optimizing has gone from putting it towards spending on my next purchase, and then now I'm working towards putting it towards my savings. Then you can earn a little bit of interest on that. So it's just like constantly upping that amount, even if it's just a little bit. It helps, and it makes you feel like you're doing work towards it, and getting that reward out of being that just that little bit better with your habits.
I love that. 1% every day, as they say. Could you tell us a little bit more about Dosh Rewards and how that works using the Dosh debit card?
Spending with your Dosh Visa debit card earns you cashback rewards. We often do extra cashback rewards, like on food and beverage every now and then, things like that. Even if you're spending, you get a little bit of return back.
Do you invest in the share market, so outside of your property investment, or do you kind of have your home as your main investment?
At the moment, my home's my main investment. When I've got my initial money goals of like traveling in my emergency fund to a point where I want it to be, ideally I'd like to pay a bit more of my mortgage off once I get to that point, and then start investing into the share market. So that's the plan, but we'll see where that goes.
I love that. I have no doubt that you'll get there. Thank you so much, Stacey, for jumping on the podcast today. Would there be any other tips that you would leave beginners with who are just starting their personal finance journey?
I think just having visibility over where your money's going is, I think that's been the key thing for me, is it leads into all of the other stuff that we've been talking about. It leads into that awareness, that control, and then you can look into your purpose, or, you know, where you want to go further than that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That control aspect really helps keep that awareness. Well, if anyone is interested in trying out Dosh, I'll leave the link below. But otherwise, Stacey, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast and sharing a bit more about your journey with us today. Like, we all really appreciate you being open to sharing and honest. I know that it can be hard. It's still scary to share things about your personal finances. So we all appreciate having your perspective. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The One Up Project. If you want to find more stuff just like this, check out our other apps or follow us at The One Up Project on Instagram or TikTok. See you there.